Welcome to TMO's Daily Observations. This is Thursday, July 24th, 2014. Hello, I'm Brian Chaffin, standing in for Jeff Gamet as host today because, well, because.
Why because?
And, well, because he has internet. Issues today.
He doesn't have internet, right? He has issues.
He doesn't have internet. That's the issue.
that's the issue. So with me, you may have clued in, with me is Kelly Gaumont and Dave Hamilton. Kelly, thanks for being here.
No problem.
Dave.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me. I've never heard your last name pronounced that way, but it certainly makes sense to. Is that how you, how do you prefer to pronounce your last name, Kelly?
I say Gaumont because that's what the in-laws all told me it was.
Oh, well, that's the right people to get it from.
Yeah, I do think that I wanted to say put some English on it, but that's not quite right because it's French.
Right.
Sounds a lot nicer. But yeah, it's a nice crass Americanization of solid French last name.
I'll stick that T on there from now on. I've been doing the French thing from the get go. So my apologies. All right. So other than last names and American customs and whatnot, how about we talk about the new Yosemite public beta, which just went public to the public a bit ago?
Yes.
I've been using the developer beta. I actually did the stupid thing that I always do and installed the very first release of it on the only Mac I had with me at WWDC with no backup drive with me. And I knew what I was doing.
Of course you did.
I mean, I knew the risk I was taking. But honestly, you know, by that point of the week, I was sort of done with the things that I would have needed to rely on my computer for. And I had my iPad with me and also my iPhone. But my iPad was enough to do the rest of the week if it totally cratered everything. So it didn't crater everything. I have seen three updates since then. So I think what the public gets today is the same thing that developers get as
correct.
Developer release 4, which came out Monday. And let me tell you what you're getting today is, as expected, way better than what we all saw when we did the foolish thing and installed it at WWDC. But don't expect all of your apps to work. Most of them will. Apps in general work. Plugins for like mail will not work yet unless the developers have released Yosemite beta compatible versions of those plugins. A lot of your menu bar items, those kinds of things, either won't work or won't work correctly. The one app that I have that does not work at all is CrashPlan. But funnily enough, the engine for CrashPlan works. So my backups still happen. I just have no way to configure them without crash planning in from another Mac into my laptop to configure CrashPlan engine on that machine. So
really, we're looking at this public beta is still for geeks who know what they're doing.
I feel like that, as it should be, you know.
Well, and I just wanted to stress that for our listeners who may be thinking like, goody. I want to get to it. But this really is not for mission critical Macs. Not yet.
Mm-mm. No. It's wonky. Even Apple's stuff is wonky. Like mail, for example, and it's great to be able to talk about this stuff, by the way, during the beta process, with the appropriate caveats that it's, you know, any complaints that we have about it are potentially non-issues for anyone that's not going to try to install the beta. But now that they've made the beta public or semi-public, if you're on the list, it is important to talk about this stuff. But right now, I have mail. I guess I have it in 3-pane view on my Air, I think. And like the middle column thing is weird and it doesn't always show everything. And even if I make it wider, like dates still roll off the side. No matter how wide I make it, it always like has a little scroll bar like, oh, no, you need to make this wider. Well, no, you know, you're making the middle wider. Squeeze yourself in. You know, that kind of stuff is there. And it's annoying. It's mildly frustrating at times. And it's 100% not surprising at all because I'm used to running beta OS. I do this every year in part so that when the OS is released, I can actually talk about it with some foundation. So
some authority. Now, Kelly, have you installed it yet?
I have not. I did sign up for the beta program and have not installed it yet. I was kind of a chicken because my last couple upgrades were really bumpy. So I didn't install anything. Right now, I'm still rocking Mavericks.
I'm usually much to Dave, sometimes chagrin or cringing. I'm usually willing to plunge right in to Apple's beta releases, but this time around both of my machines are production machines, and so I am definitely sitting on the sidelines still. Now, what people can do though is they could either make a partition or use a separate drive if they really want to play with it, but they don't want to make their mission critical machine Yosemite only.
Yeah, and certainly. That's a smart move, right? You know, you set up a chunk of your boot drive or take an old USB drive that you have and connect it and just install it on that. And then you can flip-flop back and forth and play. One thing I want to point out, and I think this is still going to happen. You certainly should expect it to happen unless Apple definitely says otherwise. Yosemite will work with either regular iCloud or the new iCloud drive. But you have to choose and iCloud Drive, and maybe they may not be letting iCloud Drive into the public beta. This is uncharted territory for me, but if they offer you, if when you install Yosemite, it says, you know, you have the choice of going to iCloud Drive, know that if you go to iCloud Drive, several things are true. A, nothing that you have syncing with iCloud right now will see the data that you sync to iCloud Drive. That includes your other Macs and your iPhone, right? And the only way to get your iPhone to see iCloud Drive is to install iOS 8 beta. And on that, you don't have a choice. You have to use iCloud Drive. So that's a whole reason perhaps not to even install iOS 8 beta on a device you rely on. The other thing that's happened several times with iCloud Drive and already in the last month, and I assume will happen again, is that Apple wipes out all the data in iCloud Drive occasionally. They give you a couple of days of warning saying, okay, yep, we're doing another overhaul of this. We've made some fundamental changes. We need to wipe out your data and start over. And then your Mac has to resync all your data back up to iCloud Drive. So just again, you know, this is beta software. It's not beta like Gmail was beta.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Stay away on mission critical Max, just period. Mm-hmm. Just stay away.
That was going to be my point, was Apple is using the actual definition of beta,
right,
and not other people's definition of beta, because Google has a definition, which is basically it's a solid product for 3 years. And so now we're going to take the beta label off. There are other places that have done similar sorts of things where they say it's a beta, but really I think it's just that they're shipping, and if somebody comes across a bug, oh well, we'll just tell people it's beta so that if something happens, then it's not a big deal. But that's not what a beta is. A beta is, it's still got way rough edges, but we've made it through the alpha testing, which means for the most part, when you start it up, it's going to do what people think it's going to do for the most part.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's the definition of beta. We've tested it internally and it has stopped bricking machines.
Usually.
So now we're going to give it to other people. And for the most part, we think that the barest minimum of functionality is probably going to be okay, but we make no promises.
Right. All right. So we need to skip to the next topic, which is going to be today. It's going to be this supposed story about Apple and Visa making a deal so that your iPhone 6 can be a wallet for making payments at the retail level.
Go. On the one hand, this is cool. On the other hand, this sort of reminds me of some of the other stuff we've seen lately where, you know, oh, well, Apple has a patent. That doesn't make it reality. Apple talking to Visa doesn't mean my phone is going to turn into my credit card. Would that be awesome? It would until I lost it. Although I'm a little more secure because I have a 5S. So I have the Touch ID turned on with the super passcode. So hopefully that would at least keep most of my data safe. But just because they're talking to Visa doesn't mean this is going to happen. On the other hand, it would be cool if I could have more transactions that were based on my phone, like when I go to Starbucks.
Yeah, I don't see. I do believe that Apple is eventually going to disrupt payments, mobile payments, and that this is something that the company has targeted. I have a problem thinking that they're going to do it through a partnership with Visa. That doesn't jive with me.
Well, right, because then you would only be able to use your Visa card. So it makes more sense that they would talk to somebody upstream, like, I don't even know who they are anymore, like Stripe or Authorize.net. The folks who process payments, that's somebody that Apple might want to have a partnership with. On the other hand, maybe all they're talking to Visa about is creating a store credit card so you can have an Apple retail credit card that you go use places.
I was just going to say, we did that when I was at Citibank. We developed the Citibank, the Apple credit card, right? But it was a Citibank card. I mean, Visa would be a weird partner because Apple's not a bank, right? I mean, even that doesn't make sense. I actually think if this, we don't know what these talks are, right?
Yeah, but we don't know.
If it is, I can see making a case where it makes sense for Apple to go talk to Visa. Apple wants to be the payment processor. Right. They want to own as much of that as possible.
Absolutely.
So they make a partnership with Visa. Then they make a partnership with, Amex and then Discover and now adding these options in. But we've seen it where some newfangled thing is and you can only pay with Visa for this promotion. Right. You know, something that kind of thing happens. And it, you know, it's weird because in the credit card industry, Visa and MasterCard, in terms of the processing of it, are almost always joined at the hip, right? Then you've got to add Amex and then you've got to add Discover and all that other stuff. But we have seen it where, you know, certain special things, it's like, oh yeah, this is just Visa. This is just MasterCard. And this could be something along those lines too.
But you know, what makes a lot more sense to me is just a Visa Passbook entry.
Oh, I like that too.
It's got to be secure. I mean, Passbook right now is not even close to secure. You can swipe and get your boarding pass without logging in and all that stuff.
True enough. But it's, yeah, not that Apple would add that now. And who knows when Apple would add this? Who knows what these talks, the nature of these talks is, as Dave said, we don't know the specifics of what was in it, but at the very least, working towards a passbook entry or even a Visa app. I don't know. Both of those make more sense than Apple teaming up with Visa for an Apple mobile payment system.
Right, because they're still missing the processor piece of that. Like Visa is only half of it. You know, all of the credit cards I have, because that's so many, all are a two-phase sort of thing. There's a make and a model. So I have a Visa from Bank of America, or I have a MasterCard from Chase. So there's still the third piece of this equation that we're not seeing.
Well, but they don't need to partner. That's the thing. They don't need to partner with banks. That's the reason the bank partners with Visa, because Visa then goes out to all the merchants and makes their deal. Right. We take credit cards at Backbeat. We take credit cards at Mac Geek Gab for our premium stuff. We don't have a deal with all the banks in the world that issue credit cards. You know, we have a deal with Visa that when we process through Visa, we pay a certain rate, right? You know, whatever the discount rate is. And we can process through Visa using any payment processor we want. We chose AuthorizeNet because they're kind of geeky and work with the hooks that we want to use. But, you know, we have a deal with Visa. We have a deal with AuthorizeNet. So I mean, like I said, I think it would make sense for Apple to make these deals with Visa, MasterCard, Discover, Amex. That is the right place for this to happen. And maybe they do start with, you know, if you want to do mobile payments from your phone, it's got to be Visa only right now, because Visa is the one that's going to make the deal with the merchants that says you're going to now accept the iPhone. Right. That's what needs to happen there. So in a sense, there's a case to be made here that those pieces do fit together in that way.
All right. We're running out of time, but I have a quick question, probably for Dave. What does this mean for Coin?
Yeah, Coin's an interesting. I was actually getting eager about, you know, testing out Coin.
Because
it should be coming soon, right? You know, all those coins that we ordered. I think
Coin, Coin is the credit card that basically has a chip in it, and you can program it to be all of your credit cards.
But that chip's not a smart card chip, so it's missing that piece of it.
It's a swipeable
credit card that can be any or depending on how many you have, all of your credit cards. You pick which one you want, and then you swipe that. So it consolidates all your cards into one little device that costs $50. What does this mean for Coin? I think in the long run, it means that Coin doesn't exist, right? But yeah, you know, exactly. Coin is. Any given model of coin is worth about 2 years, right? Because the battery in it is not replaceable. And it's expected to die after, you know, sometime in that 24-month range, depending on usage and all that. What does this mean for Coin? Coin's going to be out this summer. So I don't think it means anything for them right now. I think their biggest issue is going to be getting a model of the coin out that does have the smart chip in it, so that in 2015, when all of that stuff happens in the US, they can do it, right? They can make all that happen. Now you'll still be able to swipe it because the card doesn't have the chip on it. And we've got those, what is it? Chip or swipe rules. I forget what it's called, but essentially the transitionary rule says that if the card has the chip on it by 2015, all merchants have to accept it with the chip. But if the card doesn't, you still have to accept the swipeable card for X number of, you know, for a certain period of time.
And being armed with an Apple payment system through your iPhone, it would still be a very smart idea to have a physical credit card with you, because
certainly,
you know, just in case there's a problem with any individual retailer. So there's still room for a product like Coin.
If you ask me, look forward down the road, 10 years, maybe 5 years, but certainly 10 years. Well, then maybe Coin doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't need to if we've all got these things on phones. But in certainly for the next couple of years, you know, I'm always going to I'm looking forward to the coin. I will move everything to it. And you bet I will keep a MasterCard in my wallet with it. Normal MasterCard, because not an Amex, even though I prefer to use my Amex. But, you know, I find I always have to have a MasterCard with me, because Amex isn't taken everywhere, which is short-sighted by merchants, by the way. You pay more for MasterCard and Visa transactions on loyalty cards and rewards cards than you do on Amex transactions, but merchants are stupid and don't want to understand that.
All right, Dave and I want to give you Amex money.
Yeah,
we're out of time.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for being with us.
And hopefully Jeff will be back tomorrow.
Yes, we hope to be back.